All of us face the risk that extreme weather events like the one last week in Texas will become more common and more destructive occurrences because of climate change. Former Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates has studied climate change for years, and he has prescriptions in his latest book, How to Avoid a Climate Disaster. Bill Gates, thank you very much for joining us. And I do want to start with Texas, still reeling from what happened last week. Do you think that this is something that could have been avoided?
Oh, absolutely. The reason that they had shutdowns in all their power sources was a lack of weatherization. They didn't expect to have these cold temperatures. All those types of generators work in states like North Dakota or Alaska that are far colder, but extra money was put in for weatherization. But the two things it does show us is that we're going to have extreme events like this because of climate change. And the second is that whatever our plan is for electricity generation, we will have to keep it reliable. The toughest times are when it's super cold and when it's super hot. Creating the right market structure so that we retain reliability is going to be an issue.
And for those out there who are still questioning the connection between freezing temperatures in Texas and global warming, what's the explanation?
Well, the world has had these wind patterns that keep cold fronts from up in Canada from coming down into the Midwest. And as those wind patterns break down, it just makes events like last week substantially more common. And so weirdly, climate change involves more floods and more droughts. A lot of it's the extra heat, you know, where you won't be able to work outdoors at some point. But it also allows this type of cold event.
Well, let's talk about the book. It is, as we said, on climate change. I think, Bill Gates, many people know that you and your wife, Melinda Gates, have been very focused for years on global poverty and health challenges. What many may not know is that you've also been very focused on climate and the disaster that you say may be looming if we don't make big changes. You don't tackle the small problems, do you?
No, in fact, it's the work of the foundation where I was out in Africa seeing that farmers were having their crops fail more often and also seeing that they needed electricity that got me at about 2005 to really invest in learning, you know, how hard would this be to solve, what was necessary. So it started with that Africa lens, even though it's a problem for the entire world.
And you don't, and Bill, you don't sugarcoat the problem either. I mean, essentially, you were saying that if by the year 2050, we don't take out 51 billion tons a year of carbon emissions, we are facing a disaster. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that the natural ecosystems die off, things like all the coral reefs. I mean that the beaches disappear. You have, you know, trees dying off and lots of wildfires. You have the ability to grow food in the southern part of the U.S. is dramatically reduced. For the world, it'll create literally tens of millions of climate refugees because the closer you are to the equator, the more unlivable that it gets. And so it makes the pandemic look small. The death rate by the end of the century would be over five times the worst of what we've had in this pandemic.
And when you say climate refugees, you mean literally people having to pick up and leave where they live.
Exactly. The poorest in the world live near the equator and they're subsistence farmers. And when they don't see that they're able to feed their family, that creates incredible instability and incredible migration. And so this will be the world's biggest migration ever as those areas become unlivable where they have crop failures and they aren't able to work outdoors.
What is so fascinating, among other things, about the book is that you don't, it's not the usual prescriptions, use solar panels, recycle, you know, think about electric vehicles. You're talking about a massive change in virtually the way we do everything, the way we make things, as you put it, the way we make electricity, how we make cement, steel. These are huge challenges that you're asking essentially the wealthiest countries in the world to take on.
Yeah, so the power of innovation is very strong in the United States, the universities, the national labs, the willingness to take risk. And so our responsibility is not just to get rid of our emissions, but also to reduce the cost of being green, to reduce the extra amount, what I call the green premium that you pay when you want to make something like steel or cement in a green fashion. And those premiums are very, very high. And unless we get them down, the middle-income countries like India will continue to have emissions, you know, which means that as long as you have emissions, sadly, because CO2 stays in the atmosphere for thousands of years, the temperature just keeps going on up. And that's why zero is what we need. And that's why an awareness of all the sources of emissions that add up to that 51 billion, the book is trying to make sure it's not just the two that people understand the most, electricity and transportation, but also buildings, agriculture, and then manufacturing, which is actually the biggest of all, including large amounts just from steel and cement alone.
But big changes in a sense in the way we live and what we're surrounded by every day.
Well, hopefully, if the green premium, you know, for cement comes down, we won't have to change how we use it. Likewise, for driving, you know, as electric cars are, the cost is coming down, the range is going up, the charge points are going up. That's when we're in 10 or 15 years, even without subsidies, the green premium will be zero. That is, the electric car will be every bit as attractive and low cost as the gasoline car. Which is why a private company like GM, you know, when they announced that they'll stop making gasoline cars in 2035, it's a rational thing. It's not a government requirement. It's the market, because we have, through tax credits and other policies, driven up the volume. And then that, as you scale up, the competition and innovation has improved the electric car. So we have one category, passenger cars, that we've got a clear path to get rid of those emissions. Now we need to create that same innovation, scale up, competition in all the other sources of emissions.
I also want to ask you about the terrible milestone we passed today as a country in the pandemic. And 500,000 Americans have now died as a result of COVID-19. Is that something that you thought in the beginning might happen? You've studied viruses, you've studied the science of what's taken place. Did you expect this to happen?
Yeah, I gave a talk in 2015 and wrote a lot of articles titled, "We're Not Ready for the Next Pandemic." And the model I showed, I had globally 30 million deaths from a flu. This could have been worse. That is, the virus could have been more fatal. Even so, 500,000 just for our country, which is the highest in the world, is so unbelievably tragic. You know, large numbers like that almost, you know, feel like a statistic. But, you know, if you know people, you know, then it really brings home that, you know, these are people's grandparents. This is, you know, touch us. And even the deaths alone don't capture the full negative effects of this pandemic.
You do say in the book, Bill Gates, that we will get COVID-19 under control in 2021. What does under control mean? I mean, what does it mean that we'll be heading back to something approaching normal again?
Yeah, so the virus is somewhat seasonal. That is, in the colder months, and for a variety of reasons, it spreads a lot. So our goal has to be to, as we get into summer, get the numbers way down, and then not experience another wave in the fall. And of course, vaccination by the fall should be bearing the brunt of that. We'll still have some restrictions on public gatherings because as long as the disease is out there in other countries, you could still get big chains of infection here. But you know, if we get the vaccination levels up enough, this fall, you know, basically all the schools will be open under some protocol. Entertainment and travel will be open, and so you know the economy will be on the mend in a big way. We'll still have some limits, but you know, then when we get the entire world vaccinated, we really can start, you know, to build back in a huge way, including things like the educational deficits that lots of students have. The private sector, with some help from the government, has stepped up. I wish in climate there was this one magic thing like a vaccine you could invent and then the problem would go away. Unfortunately, you know, the scale, the number of things is much harder there. But the pandemic, as bad as it's been, the, you know, the end is in sight.
You do say in the book that climate change, much bigger challenge even than this pandemic.
No, far bigger. You know, some countries, you know, started diagnosing people early and kept the exponential spread down. And so, you know, Australia hasn't had anything in terms of deaths or lack of schooling or restrictions that we've had. And we'll be doing postmortems. I know that this one, you know, and all the foundation will be involved in making sure that the right investments are made this time, so we're ready for the next pandemic. That's a lot easier than solving climate change.
Bill Gates, the new book is titled How to Avoid a Climate Disaster, The Solutions We Have, and the Breakthroughs We Need. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Yeah, great to talk to you.